from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Coping is something that all of us have to do with life and with its work and with its problems. And I am reminded of a woman that I had in my former congregation. She was a fine Christian woman, an outstanding example of the faith. But whenever I asked her, "How are you doing?" she told me how burdened down she was with coping with the responsibilities of her life and her family. And then I'm reminded of students, and I know that you are burdened down with your studies, with your family responsibilities, and many of you with work obligations. And I would venture to say that right now, as we near the end of the first 2-week boot camp, you find those pressures especially difficult to bear up under. And then I think of myself. I have trouble coping sometimes, especially when my wife keeps reminding me that the gutter has to be cleaned because the maple seedlings in the gutter are already sprouting. And I tell her, I've got all kinds of work that I have to contend with without trying to cope with some gutter cleaning at this time. Coping is something that we just all have to do with our life and with our work. And so this morning I would invite you to listen to a few comments on coping that come from the gospel lesson, especially from the 28th through the 30th verses of St. Matthew chapter 11. These are precious words which our Savior spoke. Now, in a very strict sense, these words that he spoke on that first occasion do not apply to you and me. The Savior says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He addressed those words to people who had been hoodwinked by the Pharisees and their system of legalism. And to them he said, "Come, leave behind you the legalistic work that the Pharisees have told you is going to bring you into the kingdom. Leave all that behind and come to me and enter into the kingdom of heaven only by faith." I say that strictly speaking, that does not apply to you and me, for I know you have come and I have come. We've left behind legalism, and we've entered the kingdom of heaven through faith in the dear Savior, Jesus Christ. You were baptized, and when you were baptized, the invitation to come was accepted, and the Savior took you into his everlasting arms and gave you the gift of faith. You laid at his cross the burden of your many sins. You received the calm conscience of knowing that the eternal price has been paid. And ever since you accepted that invitation by the power of the Spirit, ever since you did come to the Savior, he's been your constant companion through word and sacrament and the work of the Spirit. So I say that in a real, strict sense, the way these words were first spoken, they do not apply to you and me. But nevertheless, they are comments on coping. For you and I, although we know our sins are forgiven, we still have to cope with the work and the problems of our life. And if we would only think back to what was implied by coming to Jesus, and if you would only think to what he gave you when you did come, you would find strength to cope with the daily problems and work of life. The Savior says, "Come unto me." And what happened when you came? You came, nothing else. And the Savior didn't ask for you to bring anything else. To the farmer, he did not say, "Dear farmer, come and bring with me your 800 acres and your modern equipment and your advanced agricultural know-how." To the factory worker or to the professional, he did not say, "Come and bring with you the 10 or the 20 or the 30 years that you faithfully put in with the company and help them to grow and prosper." To the mother and father, he did not say, "Come, but also come and parade your children who turned out to be such fine people," or maybe not such fine people. To the housewife, he did not say, "Come unto me, but also bring with me the envy of your neighbors who always marveled that your house was immaculate and spotless and clean." Didn't say that, did he? He didn't ask for us to bring anything along when we came. He just said, "You come. Come unto me, and please don't bring the statistical yearbook, which shows which shows how hard you work back there in the field. Come unto me, and by all means do not bring your transcript of credit, which shows the brain that I gave to you in the first place. Come unto me, just as you are, and please, don't wear a clerical collar. It doesn't impress me. Come unto me and forget that you are pastor or seminarian or professor. You just come. And that's what you did. You came. And all those other things that I mentioned, that's mere human baggage that we contend with and cope with in this world. But when you came to him in faith, when he picked you up in the everlasting arms of baptism, you came, and only you came. You left behind all your pretensions. You left behind all your theological erudition. You left behind the congregations where you work. You left behind false piety. You left it all behind, and you came alone and by yourself to the Savior. And then what did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a syllabus that you have to complete in the next 2 weeks if you hope to pass. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a congregation, four-fifths of which is delinquent, and three-fifths of which you'll never get back. Didn't say that either. Come unto me, and I will give you gutters that have to be cleaned. I will give you family responsibilities that you have to meet. Come unto me, and I will lay on you role expectations. Your wife wants you to be the greatest pastor that ever came down the pike. Mom and dad beam with pride. That's a role expectation. Come unto me, and I'm going to lay all of that on you. He didn't say any of that. Don't bring any baggage to me, he says. Come unto me, and I shall give you rest. The rest of knowing that I have coped with the eternal burden of sin. The rest of a calm conscience that knows that you can leave all that baggage behind you, because that's not what matters with the Savior. I will give you the rest of leaving behind you the legalism of the Pharisees. You know that you're not going to work your way into heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments. But sometimes you and I act as if we are going to work our way into the kingdom of grace by coping with life, its problems, its work, and especially with studying and the ministry. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. Not legalism, not coping that is going to bring you the kingdom, simply rest. And so you and I came, and we received the rest in which we delight. Someone has said that we rest in his labor, and then we go out to labor in his rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Ah, here it is. Nobody can possibly be saved by faith alone, especially a seminarian or a pastor. There has to be some work involved. And here it comes in the 29th verse. He does have a yoke that he's going to lay on you. Very good. Now he gives us the new work that we should do, right? Wrong. The yoke that he puts upon us in the 29th verse is not the heavy, oppressive yoke of some new work. The new, light, and easy yoke that he lays on you is not the yoke of coping with church and ministry and somehow trying to enhance your status before him. No, his yoke is his teaching. And the emphasis when he talks about laying a yoke upon you is nothing less than accepting his teaching and coming to him as you are, without that human baggage with which we must all cope. His teaching is the yoke. Now, if you stop and think about a yoke, what does it do? When I think of a yoke, I think of some heavy, onerous burden that is placed on human or animal. But that's not the purpose of a yoke. A yoke is intended to make work light. I can well imagine a team of oxen plowing with a yoke, but I find it very difficult to imagine a team of oxen pulling a plow without a yoke. And the purpose of Christ's light and easy yoke, the purpose of his teaching, is so that you and I can do our work, so that you can cope with all the human baggage that occupies your life and your occupation. He's not laying on us a new work. He's making coping easier. And that's the new light and easy yoke which he places upon you. So you leave chapel and you go out to cope. And you may cope well or not so well. You may pass your test, you may not pass your test. It might be an A, it might be a C. The statistical yearbook 100 years from now might say did great things. It might say, well, he was a faithful pastor, but he didn't score as far as this world is concerned. That doesn't matter, because you have a yoke from your Lord on you, a yoke which helps you to cope. You come to him just as you are, with nothing else. And now he helps you to cope. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's been doing that for a long time in your life. And now this morning, you come again to worship him. And I dare say that as you leave the chapel and you pick up your books and your briefcases out there, which are so heavy, you'll find that they are lighter. Amen.